Hey, it's the Rye Man coming back to you with the Broncos Country Blitz. Yes, I have my voice back. Took a little bit, to say the least. It cut out there for quite a while. So, coming back with you a little later than I was hoping it would be possible anyways, but better late than never. And after the Broncos' final game of the season, obviously we've gotten through a majority of the playoffs, just wanted to reflect on a few things. So, Pro Bowl picks on the Broncos, Justin Simmons, Pat Surtain, and Marvin Mims. All well-deserved, all great players, and NFLPA All-Pro team, Pat Surtain made that. Second team All-Pro, Justin Simmons, Marvin Mims made that. So, all of them in the mix, regardless of what set of voting you deem is most valuable. And wanted to mention that because that's a nice positive note, I guess, to finish the season on. Had three solid players that got into the Pro Bowl, including a rookie. Now, on special teams, but Marvin Mims showed flashes this year. You got to think he's just going to continue to grow into year two. Now, they had the end-of-season presser with Greg Penner, George Payton, Sean Payton. And interesting part about it, doesn't sound like we're going to be too big in free agency. I think we all know or can kind of see between the lines on why that may be, especially if Russell Wilson's not back and the cap hit we're going to take. And the other interesting thing is they tried to leave it open that Russ could come back. Now, don't know if that's really the case. There are some signs that possibly stranger things have happened. Russell Wilson continues to like a lot of the Broncos posts on social media and everything, if you follow that stuff. And who knows, maybe that's a sign of talking behind the scenes. You never know. I mean, when the season ended, when he got benched for those last couple games, wasn't really following anything, liking anything. So come back around a little bit. Doesn't mean anything. Time will tell. The other thing they said, they want Pat Surtain here long term. That's not a surprise. I'm sure there will be trade offers for him at the draft. Him, Justin Simmons, other Bronco players. You got to think some players on the roster we've gotten used to are going to be gone, either through trade or other reasons. Just from the standpoint of, if we're going to take the cap hit for Russell Wilson, we're going to have to get rid of some other players. We got to build our draft capital back up, and we'll see what happens. We'll see what happens. I'm not going to say absolutely not Russell Wilson coming back. I don't think he will. It doesn't look like he's going to, but stranger things have happened in the NFL. So we'll see what happens. But with that being said, possible starting quarterbacks for the Broncos in 2024, outside if they draft a rookie quarterback, Jason Stenham, obviously, the first choice just because he's already on the roster. Baker Mayfield, probably not. He's probably going to stay in Tampa. I think he's found a home there. And I think I've mentioned it before about him. I never thought he was the problem in Carolina. Didn't think he was the problem in Cleveland. And he has found himself a home in Tampa. Mason Rudolph. Now, I don't think a lot of people agree with me on this one. But Mason Rudolph towards the end of the season for the Steelers played pretty darn well. Looked more like the quarterback they thought they could groom him into. Stopgap quarterback. I think there's an upside with him. I could see him working with Sean Payton. Definitely doesn't mind throwing across the middle. So, could see him in the mix for the Broncos. Jake Browning, back up in Cincy. Obviously carried the team for a good part of the season. Had some pretty big games until the tape caught up with him. Kind of slowed down a little bit after that. Would he be a possibility? I don't know. I mean, same thing. Sean Payton would have to see enough on tape to really say, yeah, let's get him in here and he can be a stopgap for us while we figure out our next option at quarterback. Kirk Cousins, there's been talk of him, but the numbers are already out there. He's wanting another big payday. Broncos probably aren't going to be able to do it. So as much as he would probably thrive in Sean Payton's offense, probably not going to happen. Ryan Tannehill, no. I'm just going to say no on him. I mean, had some good years in Miami. Obviously had a resurgence in Tennessee. In his upper 30s now. I just don't see him being an answer at this point, even short term. Gardner Minshew, now he has had some flashes, and he can play in certain systems, and he can play, you know, kind of the quarterback manager kind of game. But same thing. I don't know if he would really fit with what Sean Payton wants to do. And the last one that's intriguing, but I look at it very much like an Alex Smith situation. Had several different coordinators, has had different stops now. Sam Darnold out there in San Fran, who knows if things go the Broncos country way, might get a ring with the Niners in a couple weeks with a victory over the Chiefs. Time will tell. But could he be an option? He has shown flashes. He showed flashes in New York at times, in Carolina at times, but always came back to earth. Could something be done with Sean Payton? And we work well with the 49ers upper levels, I should say, in terms of trade, and we've worked with them quite often, so I could see us finding a way to get him here. I don't know. It's a mixed bag on the quarterbacks out there that are available. I think everyone has their opinion. We'll see what happens. Sean Payton, obviously, according to him, he put Stenham in for a spark the last couple games of the season, didn't quite give us the spark we wanted. Thus, kind of opens the door even more to what is going on at quarterback as we go into this new, as we go into the new season, the 2024 season, here in a few weeks when the calendar flips over for the league year. One thing Sean Payton's doing, Pete Carmichael Jr., not signed yet officially, but expected to come in as part of the offensive staff in a higher role. He was with Payton in New Orleans when they won the Super Bowl against the Colts. He was actually the offensive coordinator that year. Had been with Sean Payton for several years. And when it wasn't him, it was Joe Lombardi. Now all three are going to be under the same roof. So we're going to have to see what happens there when he comes in. And maybe all three together create some type of magic again. I mean, maybe with all three under the same roof, it could be magic in a bottle. We'll see. The only thing I have as a concern is there are some people out there that are concerned Sean Payton's going too much back to his old well, so to speak. And is he really progressing the offense forward? Now he has Pete Carmichael and Joe Lombardi both in the building. Is that going to create a push forward, or is that going to kind of set things back? And what I mean by that is one reason Carmichael was let go from New Orleans is they wanted to kind of evolve the offense and felt like he was kind of stuck in Sean Payton's ways, whatever that means. So time will tell. Time will tell, but maybe all three of those together, again, all three of those gentlemen, create something special again in Denver. Now, a couple other comments I got to make. Larry Zimmer, Broncos radio voice before Dave Logan. Remember him calling a lot of the Elway games and passed away. Unfortunately, great voice of the Broncos, obviously has done, you know, moved on, did some work with the Buffs, other organizations and everything. But definitely remember a lot of his calls. Anyone that saw those Elway greatest comeback videos they would bring out in the late, you know, 80s, early 90s, he was usually the voice that they would use to go ahead and be the audio or the highlight reel on those, videos. A lot of it was from the direct KOA broadcast, and definitely holds a special place in Broncos history. I know he holds a special place for me, just the same as Dave Logan does now. Some of their calls, the Broncos games are timeless. Larry Zimmer's calls of the Broncos games were timeless when it was his time to do that. And obviously he did all of it in the old Mile High. So the old Mile High Stadium. So our condolences go out to his family. Great voice, great overall presence in Colorado sports, and great broadcaster. Obviously, this being Broncos country, making sure to go ahead and remember him as the voice years ago of the Denver Broncos. Now, other thing, I know I keep coming back to it, but NFL.com, sale on all the Broncos jerseys right now. And kind of in a suspicious way. It's not just Russell Wilson. It's everybody. Makes you think new jerseys are coming. Now, I've kind of paid attention to this. For other reasons, I've paid attention to this stuff over the years. And NFL.com and Fanatics and all, they seem to have a pattern. When they know there's a new jersey coming or something, they kind of do this markdown, and all of a sudden all the Broncos jerseys are marked down. So, let's see. Maybe we still get something this year. Greg Penner was definitely... Mum's the word on that, but we'll see what happens. And speaking of something else during the presser, Greg Penner got bothered about the stadium again. Will you guys just shut up about the stadium? Maybe that was a little too harsh, but you know, in Power Field at Mile High, excuse me, Power Field at Mile High, still a great stadium, was ranked in the top 10 again this year. I don't understand the push for a new stadium. I guess I just don't understand it. I mean, maybe it's because they know the new Broncos owners have endless pockets of money and they can do a dome or something so we can have Super Bowl opportunities. Maybe that's it. But I am still shocked at the press conferences how much he gets bothered by that. I mean, especially if you went to the stadium this year. I was there a couple times. I thought it was great. So I don't really see what the push is. Yeah, there's some more modern stadiums out there. But, for example, there were some stadiums that have been made over the last few years, and some of the upgrades or things that were, quote unquote, more modern have kind of lost their luster pretty quick. So, you know, I think that's something to keep in mind. Just something to keep in mind. The other thing too, obviously the playoffs, thought there were some great playoff matches. Obviously we saw the Detroit Lions, have playoff relevancy for the first time in quite some time. But really, I think I can say really for Broncos country, probably, but probably for a lot of individuals out there, if the Niners and the Chiefs are not the Super Bowl a lot of people wanted. They were hoping for Ravens, Lions, or maybe even the Lions, Chiefs, or even the Niners and the Ravens, a rematch. And it just seems like everyone I talked to after the 49ers came back against the Lions and won, and the Lions had chances to win that game. They left points out there. I know Dan Campbell's aggressive, but man, sometimes you got to just take the field goal and the points to keep the lead. And the Chiefs against the Ravens, I know you have to give credit to the team that won. It's especially hard with the Chiefs, but the Ravens, I have not seen them play that badly in a couple of years, I would say. In the games I've had a chance to watch of Baltimore. And for a team that was such a huge rushing team this year, they only ran the ball, I believe, 16 times against the Chiefs. And I asked some people, now this is going to probably come back and bite me, but I asked a lot of people, like, but the Chiefs didn't look that great, right? Like, you just kind of felt like if the Ravens would have had anything worth of a game plan, they could have probably taken that game pretty easily. If it was another team playing the Chiefs, even the Lions' performance against the Niners, they would have beaten the Chiefs. And maybe that'll come back to bite me in a couple weeks, but it just felt like that. And it felt like Baltimore lost it more than KC won the game. Now, the Niners, that was a legitimate comeback. The Lions helped them out quite a bit at times in the second half. But I got to go for the 49ers over the Chiefs in the Super Bowl. I mean, too many Broncos connections there. John Lynch, Ed McCaffrey's son, Christian McCaffrey, Mike Shanahan's son, Kyle Shanahan. There's just too many Bronco connections on that team for you not to go for the 49ers. And who would have thought that years ago that Broncos country would ever root for the 49ers, especially after Super Bowl 24, the pacing they put on the Broncos. But really, it's a no-brainer to cheer for the Niners in the Super Bowl, obviously with those Bronco connections. And we'll see what happens. We'll see what happens. Hopefully the Niners come out with a good game plan. You know, they lost to the Chiefs a few years ago in the Super Bowl. Sometimes I think that benefits a rematch more than anything. You go, okay, this is what we did a few years ago. Yeah, it's different teams, but this is what we cannot allow to happen again. And sometimes you learn more from losing in the cases like that. So we will see. And another thing, we are going to find out very soon if Randy Gradishar is officially stamped into the Hall of Fame. I think it's pretty much a done deal, but that's going to be fun to see. Should make it official the night before the Super Bowl. Can't wait to see that. Long time coming. And really, hopefully it opens the door for some other members of the Orange Crush to finally get in the Pro Football Hall of Fame. So those are some of my thoughts and reflections after the end of the Broncos season, obviously coming up here just before the latest installment, I should say, of the Super Bowl coming up between the Chiefs and the 49ers. So I really think going into 2024, obviously big news, Chargers got Jim Harbaugh as their coach. Some people, excuse me, have already made the argument. See, I don't have my voice all the way back. There's still a little remnant still, but enough to talk to you. A lot of people think that Sean Payton could be number three in terms of best coach in the division with Andy Reid. And now we have John Harbaugh or Jim Harbaugh. I mean, I don't know if I see it that way, but I will say this. Sean Payton has got to have his best seasons as a coach coming up now to prove that we made the right investment, to prove we made the right choice, investing in his culture and his choices. And we got to see what's going to happen here. Really think we got to see some exquisite coaching over the next year or two. And it's fully possible. Look what the Bucs did this year. Okay, they were supposed to be rebuilding at best. Baker Mayfield was a shot in the dark, and they got in the playoffs and did pretty well, and basically, you know, advanced. Ended up playing Detroit and did way more than people thought they were going to do. We need to see something similar out of the Broncos going into 2024. Obviously, a much tougher division. Than what the Bucs play in the NFC over there. But we're going to have to, and obviously get the quarterback situation figured out. I have to think Sean Payton has a plan. I don't think any of us know what that plan is yet. When they make the decision on Russell Wilson, that'll be the first piece to fall. And you got to think he's got a plan on who he wants to bring in or who he wants to draft that can run his system, but also have some of those intangibles that he doesn't mind working with. And we'll see. I mean, like I said, I think his roster is going to look really different. I think a lot of players we've been used to for the last few years through a lot of these losing seasons are going to be gone. I think that's part of changing the culture. I think some of the players may just be a move for that very reason. And we're going to see if Sean Payton basically justifies the dollars and bringing him here and justifies the decision-making, giving him the power that we have to get us back to winning records and playoff caliber football. So it all starts pretty soon, pretty much right after the Super Bowl. I mean, obviously the Broncos have already started their offseason, but right after the Super Bowl is really when everyone flips the page right away. And it'll be interesting to see what comes forward after that in Broncos country. So, really interesting times. Felt like this year we were so close, and now we're just on this teeter-totter. You don't know whether we're going to take a step back for the next couple of years or whether with great coaching and great scouting and Sean Payton kind of overseeing more in terms of deals being made and stuff like that, allowances for certain players. Let's see if we turn things around. Now, I know there were a couple of people that we brought in this year, McGlinchey, Powers on the offensive line, that, you know, people weren't very excited about at the end of the year, but maybe Sean Payton just needs another year with them too. So I'm gonna trust in Sean Payton and trust in the coaching right now. I'm not even gonna say after this next year will it prove me wrong or not. I think it's gonna be about a 2-year process. But really that page is being flipped right now. It started getting flipped during the 2023-24 season. And I'm interested to see what's going to happen next, and really Sean Payton has kind of focused the microscope on himself with the Russell Wilson drama, and you know, you got to think he's willing to accept that and kind of have that focus on him. So we will see what happens, but we will see, first of all, who wins the upcoming Super Bowl. Like I said, I am going for the 49ers over the Chiefs. I hope it's big time. So we don't have to hear about the Chiefs all offseason. And hopefully, if the Chiefs lose, there's some rumors of some people moving on and retiring. Maybe that can break up a little bit. But hey, yo, Broncos country, we got to hope a little bit, right? So until next time, this is the Rye Man with the Broncos Country Blitz. And remember to find us on Facebook at facebook.com/groups/Broncos Country. And on Twitter at DDCR_BCB.